So the old way of business and marketing, a lot of it was on kind of gut instincts and intuition about your client or your market. But in a world where everything is online, by not leading with data, you're missing the key signals as to who your customer is, how they shop, and maybe what they need.
Hello, I'm Vivian Kay, and thanks for joining me on this episode of Business Class, Build It Braver, a podcast powered by American Express. In every episode, we introduce you to a different small business owner, someone who's trying to do it all. Then we tap into the experiences of notable Canadian entrepreneurs, people who've built and grown successful businesses. That means they can offer firsthand insight into challenges like managing your cash flow, telling your brand story, sourcing capital, and of course, growing your business. In this episode, we're picking up on the challenge that many of us business owners know well, the importance of taking your business digital. This pandemic has been called a lot of things. One charming name I've heard batted around is the retail apocalypse. That might be just a tad extreme, but it's true that the way we shop has been profoundly influenced by our new reality. The events of the last few years meant that many Canadian business owners who previously toyed with the idea of going digital were now forced to accelerate the process. For some of us, that just meant that our weekly staff meetings were now online. But for others, it meant totally reinventing themselves. So, how are you using digital technology to engage with your customers? What growth opportunities are there for digital businesses? How do you know whether your digital strategy is working? These are some of the many questions we will be exploring in this episode. Let's get started. We will be tapping into the experience of two Canadian entrepreneurs. One is questioning his next move into the digital space, and the other has quite literally made it her business to help other entrepreneurs with their digital transformation plans. First off, we'll meet businessman Jabril Jallo, aka Fresh, who for the better part of the last 10 years has been putting all his efforts into building his high-end streetwear brand, Get Fresh. The majority of Jabril's sales come from one-on-one activities like attending events, pop-up shops, and collection releases. He's also pushed his sales by sharing his style and brand story. Jabril pushed hard for neighborhood businesses when the pandemic first hit and was part of the Amex Shop Small campaign. He's still passionate about his neighborhood. However, when COVID refused to exit stage left, Jabril was forced to take his business online. The result has not been what he anticipated. Jabril is hoping to get some help in replicating the same kind of energy he deployed in the physical store digitally. But he doesn't quite know where to begin. If only he had a crystal ball. Thankfully, we have the next best thing, a futurist. Sinead Beauville is the founder of Way Talks, a community that is revolutionizing the way young entrepreneurs learn and think about tech, and is working to see more diverse voices reflected in the tech industry. I can't wait to hear more from these two incredible entrepreneurs. So first, let's meet Jabril Jallo. As I mentioned, he's the founder of Toronto-based high-end streetwear brand Get Fresh Company. Jabril started this business at the age of 23, and the company has done several collaborations and is now very popular among celebrities. Jabril's flagship Toronto store, selling his own brand as well as other Canadian designers, unfortunately closed in November of 2021. So now he's gone fully digital and the stakes couldn't be higher. Hey Fresh, welcome to Build It Braver.
How you doing? Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. So Jabril, I can relate to how challenging it can be when you're pioneering something. When I started my hair extension company, Kinky Curly Yaki, I was building a community while also trying to build a business from scratch. So tell me the backstory. Like, what's your origin story and how did you get to where you are today?
I always wanted to be in fashion. I always wanted a store. It was a childhood dream. I started off throwing parties within the city, and I was a wardrobe stylist. From there, I built a really big community, worked with a lot of Canadian artists, American artists. From there, I wanted to go to LA because it was the biggest fashion district in the world. I went there, and randomly 3 days in, I met this guy who owned a factory, and he made hats. And he had all these samples in this room, this gigantic room, maybe 5,000 square feet. And he was like, I have no idea what to do with these and I need to clear this room out. I'll sell them all to you. I literally flew a couple of my friends to LA with me. We filled up like hockey bags and brought them across the border back to Toronto. And then I created a pop-up shop. Pop-up shop wasn't really like a thing right at this time. I rented a store and literally put together a big team from high school students, from summer school, from the east end of the city, all the way to Brampton and Milton, put together like a little promo team and promoted this pop-up shop. And I think we had about 6,000 people come throughout that whole weekend. It was crazy. So that was the start of everything.
So, you know, it sounds like you were born to hustle. And it sounds like along the way, you were also making these critical decisions about your brand identity. So how hard was it for you to stay true to yourself? Tell me about that.
Oh, I've been authentically me since day one, to be honest. I come from a very strong mother. My mom was, you know, she passed away when I was younger. And, you know,
may she rest in peace.
Thank you. So, you know, my mom would always told me, you know, you're young, you're Black, you got to, you know, walk with your chest out, head high, and it's going to be hard, but always be you. You know, don't ever change for anyone else. People always told me, you're going to have to change your name. You're going to have to cut your braids. You got to start wearing suits. You got to do this. You got to do that. I feel like there just isn't enough examples of an actual dark-skinned Black man in these spaces. So people just automatically think that you cannot look like me to make it. And, you know, it was very important for me my whole life to set that example for all the kids where I come from and everyone who looks like me to show them that they can make it.
So, Jabril, you recently transitioned your brand to online. And before that, all of your sales were through brick and mortar, pop-up shops, events. So tell me about making that switch. Was it difficult? Did you want to do that?
You know, we created a community within the city and the country that revolved around the brick and mortar. We were always doing events. You know, we did listening parties at different artists, fashion shows. So we never really had an amazing digital presence. You know what I mean? I'll be the first person right to say that. Because people who would come to the store, they know what we're about. They come in the store, they know all the employees, you know, they know me, they come to our events, they understand the lifestyle of our brand, right?
Right.
But I did a poor job on, I guess, mirroring that digitally. You know, it's just really, right, it's not my forte. I've tried to hire people before, but they don't really understand my vision the same way. So
I know it very well. So speaking of that, how's business? You just said that you're having a hard time transitioning your business, your brick and mortar pop-ups to a digital first platform, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So how's business? What challenges? Like, what's your biggest challenge right now that you could be like, come get this problem right now and take it off my hands?
You know, business is, we're blessed. I'd say that like our number one right now is the digital transformation. That's the number one.
Thanks, Jabril. I think a lot of business owners in Canada right now can relate to what you're grappling with. How to grab a hold of digital transformation with both hands. We're going to get into this. And to help us do that, I want to bring in Sinead Beauville. For anyone who doesn't know, Sinead Beauville is the founder of Way Talks, a community that supports young people in building career paths that will sustain the digital shift. She's also a renowned and much needed voice on promoting diversity in tech. She's a fashion model and a futurist. Now, that's an interesting combo. And as well, she's a successful tech entrepreneur in her own right. Through Way Talks, Sinead features some of the most influential names in fashion, technology, and entrepreneurship. She helps make it easier for small businesses like Jabril to find their voice in the digital landscape and capture their market. Sinead Beauville, welcome to Build It Braver.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. Thrilled to be here.
Let's begin with your interest in empowering young entrepreneurs to feel more confident in tech. So tell me, what are some of the stories that you're hearing from these young entrepreneurs that are going digital?
On the one hand, there's the idea that young entrepreneurs or just young people in general are quite digital natives. So they kind of speak the language of digital technologies. Some of them were born onto screens. So that's one aspect of it. But we're in this strange transitionary period where we're leaving the old institutional ways of the past into this new digital space. So while somebody may have digital skills or speak tech or digital first, finding your voice in this transitionary time is still challenging. What companies are hiring for may still be jobs of the past. The skills you're getting equipped with in school are training you for jobs of the past. So there's all of these disconnects that are happening that I'm seeing in some of the concerns of younger people.
So, Sinead, I would say that your own career trajectory goes from getting your master's in business to becoming a fashion model and to starting Way Talks, which is a unique tech education and empowerment community. So how does your own non-traditional or unconventional career path inform the way that you work with others?
So I think it's through this experience that's illuminated for me who's been invited into rooms where the future's being coded and who hasn't been. I spent my entire life in a world where I had access to the information about the future and I understood it. When I stepped into the world of fashion, I realized nobody else was invited to those conversations. And even if they were, they didn't understand how to actualize them, how to take that material and make it relevant for their own life. So that's been a big highlight for me. And then I think when we forecast the future and look over the next decade, the only thing that's constant is change. What we experienced with COVID, we can expect technologies like artificial intelligence to continue to disrupt the way we work and the way we live. Most of the jobs of 2030 haven't even been invented yet. I mean, kids in school today will hold 17 jobs over 5 different career paths. So as somebody who's preaching being able to pivot, adaptability, being able to understand your skills and transfer them into different worlds and lanes, I have some experience in that. I'm not just preaching from an office in a suit somewhere without actually experiencing how difficult it is.
Yeah, you're operating reality as opposed to theory, right? Mm-hmm. So you're a futurist. Just out of curiosity, what exactly is a futurist?
I study and forecast the future. So any of the statistical models that I would have built in my business world, instead of filling them with companies who need to increase revenue or lower costs, I'm inputting variables like the history of society, how technology has disrupted it, a new patent that's been filed by an emerging technology company, and where that would take us in 10 years. So that is how I would define my existence in futurism as a futurist, but people have different views on it.
Some of the further out, more futuristic tech trends that you're currently spotting, what do you think business owners need to start tracking for their long-term planning?
So I think one thing that's really important for small business owners is recognizing that technology in many ways is your advantage. It can help equalize some of the resource constraints that you would experience. We're stepping into a world where you'll be able to stream intelligence. So the way you currently stream the internet, imagine being able to stream intelligence. And that's how widespread artificial intelligence will be, which completely changes the nature of business. The problems you have, what could be solved by being able to access this technology and it becoming baseline versus what is uniquely human that you can lean into and grow with. We will all be able to access intelligence. Now, what questions do you want to ask it? And how do you want to use
Fascinating.
It?
Fascinating. Okay, so let's get back to the immediate future.
Sure.
So when a small business is looking at using technology, like a business like Jabril's, they just have to reimagine the way they do things. What are some key elements, like best practices, the building blocks that they could build their business upon in order to be ready for this digital transformation?
So before technology is even involved in the conversation, it's defining what is your brand identity today and in the future, and then how do you deliver that in these new digital formats, short form content, in imagery, and then how you connect with people in these new spaces. Digital technologies, they aren't going away. So knowing your customer and where they are now in this new digital environment, then the next thing as we start getting into more of the tech of it all, in this digital age, you cannot be operating without data leading your decisions. So the old way of business and marketing, a lot of it was on kind of gut instincts. and intuition about your client or your market. But in a world where everything is online, by not leading with data, you're missing the key signals as to who your customer is, how they shop, and maybe what they need. And whatever you're missing, you can count on a competitor to be picking up. They start to pick up those pieces. So tapping into your data and digital resources, I think, is really, really important, which would mean that the website that you're using, for example, isn't necessarily just a basic site. You're tapping into the analytical capabilities that it offers. Maybe your website is embedded with artificial intelligence so you can really understand the patterns of your customer, because AI is a genius when it comes to spotting patterns that the human eye might not see. And then the things like automated emailing, you forgot this in your cart, all of these things that it's just kind of a waste of a resource to have somebody trying to figure all of this out when AI and technology can just do that. And then making sure you are where your customers expect to find you. So whatever specific social media channels you're on, they're on, you're there. They're going to expect to be able to communicate with you digitally. So maybe that means you have somebody around the clock answering the types of questions, or you've deployed an AI customer service bot to at least offer that type of support.
I just wrote all that down.
Good.
Fascinating. So Jabril, you know, the stage that you're at right now, so you just recently transitioned from a, quote, old-fashioned brick and mortar, and now you're moving online. What exactly is the biggest challenge in that process?
How to tell the story digitally. In the physical, we do really well with it. I want to be able to take that and, you know, map that out online. Like right now, our digital presence is very like, here's a new t-shirt. It comes in these sizes. Right. It's available Friday. It's very like bland and blank. Like I probably wouldn't follow us. I've always separated digitally Get Fresh Company as like its own kind of company and boring, just posting products. And then myself, I've made it separate, but people know me for traveling, fashion, eating, you know, music and all that. And what I would like to do is blend the two and showcase all of that on the Get Fresh Company digital platforms and, you know, bring that whole lifestyle to life digitally.
You're listening to Business Class, Build It Braver, and I'm Vivian Kay. Here's a quick tip. If you're a small business owner, when this episode is over, go and check out American Express Business Class. This is a fantastic online resource that provides modern education through compelling stories, timely tips, and inspiring insights from business experts, industry leaders, and savvy entrepreneurs. It's basically a world of great ideas for today's business leaders. You can learn more at mx.ca/business class. So Sinead, listening to Jabril talk about Get Fresh Company, it sounds like a huge part of his original business strategy was to be able to share his personality with his customers. But he hasn't yet been able to fully replicate that same vital part of his model through his online store. What are your thoughts on that?
If I was to kind of throw a consulting hat on, I would say as a small business, your resources are always constrained and limited. So before you even start throwing resources at a problem to solve it, which problem should you actually be solving and what takes priority? And so I think that would also come down to understanding what your customers came to you for. And if the pattern of sales was they came to you for the experience they were getting, and on top of that, they bought merchandise to go with that experience, that's different than somebody coming to you for the clothes first, which I think changes the problem that you're solving.
I'd say it's a bit of both. Our customers like our clothing because of the quality. We make everything in Canada. I make all the fabric myself. Everything is pre-shrunk. So our customers, they really mess with us for the fit and the quality. And then on top of that, they also come to us because, you know, we create this whole lifestyle around the brand, you know, through all of our events.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you use any data analytics to inform any of your decisions? Are there some patterns? Is there a certain type of customer? Do they buy it when they're at an event? And because I think data could be really helpful for you.
Yeah, I would say the clients who really come to our events are buying more tracksuits, things with more graphics. And then we have a completely different clientele that they will buy all of our basics. It's like the business is broken into like two worlds, kind of.
Yeah, I think so. One thing that can be frustrating with moving into a digital space and communicating your brand digitally is that, and this is kind of the fundamentals of business more generally, you have to specify who your target market is. And it doesn't mean that other people won't take interest in your brand, but you're not going to be able to connect with an audience that doesn't know you're talking to them. And they don't know you're talking to them if you're talking to a few different types of people. You really have to know who this customer is. And I always say, get it down to the specific person. Our customer is Molly. She's 16 years old. She tends to take the city bus. It's like that specific. And so then you can map out the customer experience journey. This is where Molly probably spends her time. She's probably on video-based platforms, not image-based ones. You know, she probably uses less email, or you can get to the specific places online that this customer is, how that customer interacts there. So then you know how your brand can intercept and be present there. And that's where your resources go first.
I did an experiment. I went to Sierra Leone, half Sierra Leonese, went to Sierra Leone in January. And I said, you know what? This is the first time I've ever took like social media like seriously. I was there for, I think, 27 days. I'm like, every day I'm going to like film my experience here. So I would do this thing. The main city is called Freetown. That's where my place is. I would do this thing, taste of Freetown, sounds of Freetown, fashion of Freetown, views of Freetown. And like every day I would just take different videos and photos and post it on my story. And I would see the growth of like my viewership go from like 300 to like 3 days later, it's at like 600 to like 900 to 2000 to 3000 to where I had more viewers than I did followers. So people, I guess, were sharing the videos. And I realized that my customer base, they like learning a lot about me and what I do and what I'm about. And I seen the direct correlation with sales online, but I wasn't doing this on Get Fresh. I was doing this on my person. Cause I don't know. I create these rules on my head that like, oh, this is a clothing thing. It needs to just sell.
No.
So clothing.
Bro, people buy people. They don't buy products. So you need to give Get Fresh company a soul and you need to do it digitally.
Yeah. And you can do A/B tests where you try that on the Get Fresh page. If you saw that what you were doing and those types of actions resonated with people and it translated to sales, that's a pretty important signal. And that's maybe the type of storytelling that your audience wants to see on Get Fresh. And maybe that also means you have, on a resource side, you have support on the storytelling, somebody that really understands that space. Okay, this is how we do the brand, but through a smartphone.
Sinead, we've talked about digital transformation and how it pertains to the way you present your business publicly online. But it's more than your image. What about the internal business processes and systems that can be strengthened by a digital transformation?
Yeah, like what I had kind of alluded to earlier, making sure you have all of the analytical horsepower running your website. It's embedded with AI, so you're understanding and uncovering patterns in customer behavior internally. Are there admin-based roles that you're kind of lacking because of, you know, constrained resources that you could lean on technology to support you in? Identifying what technologies are being used in the business space that you're in.
You might want to check out WayTalks. Mm-hmm. You might want to check that out. So, Sinead, do Jabril's challenges echo what you hear a lot of in your line of work?
Mm-hmm. The making of the strategy in this digital age, just the sitting down and really mapping that out and what that looks like. And I think a lot of the time, we can find that we're more overwhelmed than we actually need to be. Because once you start sitting down and doing it, you're like, you know what? I kind of do know a lot about how my customer shops or interacts online. I kind of do know what spaces I can likely put advertisements in front of them. But it can feel a little bit overwhelming. Once you kind of get over that hump of, okay, now we're pretty much a digital first brand, you realize all of the advantages that it has. You're not kind of slowed down by brick and mortar. You can change and evolve your brand a little bit easier.
And Sinead, do you have any final thoughts for Jabril?
I think you have a powerful brand and you have something that people want to be a part of, they look to you and your brand for advice on who they should be and where they should go to be that. And I think that that's something that is very important in an age where we show everything we do. So technology is really on your side. With that being kind of the thing that really drives and motivates your customer, technology is totally on your side because your clients and your customers, they want to see where you are. And the great thing about social media is it's whether it's real or not, it's your visual commitment that you are who you say you are to your clients. So I think you'll be fine just kind of mapping out that digital strategy, maybe bringing in some resources in terms of digital branding experts to help you start to tell your story online, start to help you pick maybe a series of influencers or how you tell these stories in small, digestible digital chunks. And then once you have that blueprint, kind of grow from there. And don't be afraid, I think, with small businesses, with all businesses, we're still all testing things as we go. So you might test one thing and it doesn't kind of work until you pull back and you try something else, and to not get discouraged. And you've been in business, I know, for over a decade, so you're well aware of the kind of hills and valleys of entrepreneurship. And you know, with technology, it's going to continue to change. So you can't get complacent in any way, because the very infrastructure of where your brand exists is going to be a moving target. So just be always ready to evolve and to change. And if you lean into technology, you don't get kind of caught off guard by it.
That was fascinating. I mean, to be a part of this conversation and to learn all about Sinead Bovill's passion for helping diverse entrepreneurs go digital and embrace technology in a thoughtful way, I mean, that was mind-blowing.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great. It's always interesting to explore how different businesses are pivoting in the digital age.
And Jabril, great to connect with you. I can't wait to see where you take Get Fresh Company next.
Thank you very much. I've learned a lot. I appreciate you. Made a million in one notes. Thank you again.
And speaking of digital, don't forget to go to American Express Business Class online to find all kinds of valuable resources and suggestions. And on the podcast, we've got more incredible business mentors coming your way. So keep checking out the show. I'm Vivian Kay. Thanks again for listening to Business Class. Build it braver, and may you continue to prosper.